God bless you guys. How's everybody doing? Take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 41. This morning we're going to look at fear. I'm going to teach you guys how to get really scared and really afraid and live your life in fear. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to look at fear, but we're going to look at deliverance from fear. The deliverance that God has made available from fear. We're going to look in the Old Testament at a few records where they dealt with fear and going into the Promised Land. And we're going to see some New Testament truths that apply to us now about how we can get deliverance from fear.
I mean, it's kind of funny. Preparing for my teaching on fear, I was doing a lot of because you're afraid of messing up, of getting embarrassed, of coming up here and looking stupid. And you're afraid of what people are going to think about you, right? Because speaking isn't such a big deal. We do that every day. You know, I've been around you guys for a day now. You know, I'm used to being around a lot of people. But I'm afraid of looking stupid. I'm afraid of saying something wrong. Or for me, I've always came to family camp and heard the best teachings that I've ever heard. And so there's like a high expectation for me to give a really good teaching. You know, a family camp worthy teaching. And so that pressure I'm putting on myself, but it's not from what you guys will think about me, because, you know, you guys, even if I do a terrible job and you guys judge the shit out of me, that doesn't affect me unless I allow it to, right? I have to believe that your judgment is true. And so really it's a fear of me accepting what you guys, you know, I'm not saying you guys are going to judge me, but it's a fear of me accepting the judgment for believing something about myself, you know, believing these negative things about myself. When really, and what helped me to calm down, like as I'm slowly calming down, is that what God thinks about me. Because don't we have control of what we can believe about ourselves? You know, we can control that, hey, God says that His word does not come void. If I share God's word, it's going to find ground. Some people are going to get blessed when I share God's word. God says that He's going to work in me to share what you guys need to hear. He's going to work in me so that I can teach effectively. And when I start to put it in perspective and believe what God says about me, then it helps to calm me down and to beat that fear of public speaking. So we're going to get into God's word now.
So we're in Isaiah chapter 41. And Isaiah was a really cool prophet, and he gets a really cool promise from God on fear here. But when you think of the prophet Isaiah, he was a prophet for a long time. I heard about 60 years was what I heard. Don't know if that's true. That's just what I heard. But Isaiah was a prophet, and during his time of prophesying, Israel had great abundance, and they had profit, and they did well. Yet, and you would think that in times of when you're, you know, doing well and everything's going good, that you would draw closer to God. But that's not the case. They actually drew away from God, and they went away from what God had commanded them to do, and it resulted in them being put into slavery. But Isaiah gets a really great promise from God in the midst of all this, in the midst of God telling him that, hey, you and all the children of Israel are going to be put into slavery. He says in verse 10 of Isaiah 41, "Fear thou not, for I, God, am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my what? My righteousness. What is God saying to Isaiah here? He's saying, you know what? I know what you're going through. I know that you have reason to be afraid, to get dismayed, you know, fear facing the future. But what God's telling him is, hey, I'm bigger than your fears. I'm bigger than the problems that you go through. And this is true to us now, today. God says, don't be afraid. Fear not, for I am your God. I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Be not afraid. You know, we might not go through something that Isaiah went through, where, you know, everyone we love is going to be put into slavery. But we do go through challenges, right? On a daily basis. We do have lives. We do have stuff thrown at us that we need to handle. That can cause us to be afraid. But God says that He's bigger than these fears. He's bigger than our problems. He will strengthen us. Turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. It says in verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man, and this is talking about your inward fears. You know, maybe fear, you know, feelings of being timid or being cowardly or being afraid. The fear of man brings a snare or a trap. It traps you. You think about it when you're hunting, a trap, you know, you get caught in it with your foot or whatever and you can't move, right? You're restrained, you're restricted. And that's sort of what fear does to us, this inward fear that we have. It actually restricts our actions and it keeps us from acting. It keeps us from taking movement and doing what we want to do. And I think that this verse specifically can be applied to us here at Family Camp. You know, for me, you know, and not so much this year because I've been thinking about it, but I used to be, you know, sort of afraid of going up to someone and be like, hey, I'm Sam Seed. You know, I could do it to people that I knew, but if there was someone I didn't really know, he's like, oh, it's just easier for me to just chill back and not go up and introduce myself. You know, I don't want to go up and make that first move and be the one that's like, hey, you know, I saw you earlier and I wanted to say hi, but I just didn't get a chance, so now I'm going to come up and give you a hug or whatever. I think I've gotten to hug almost every single one of you. I think there's a few that I've missed, but I'm going to get you. But fear can keep us from doing what we want to do. It can restrict our actions. It could put us in a trap. So one thing at Family Camp, I think, to conquer your fear of is to go up and meet people. You know, that's just a common thing, and it's real easy. Hey, you feel that fear. You see someone you never met before, and oh, it's easier for me to just not go up and say hi. And I think about this, I've heard a wonderful example, but you never know what the love that you give to someone, and just by saying hi, and just by offering a hug, what it can do for their life, right? Because we all have inward battles that we're going through, and we have struggles that we're going through, and you never know who could be where in their struggles, and if just by you offering a hug, just giving them some love, what it can do for you. You know, whether they're at a grocery store and they're thinking about ending stuff and they just need a hug and you go up and they get born again, you never know what conquering your fear of going up and saying hi can do for someone. Another thing at camp I think that we can be sort of trapped by or ensnared by our fear is like devotion with motion. You know, it's kind of silly to get out there on this hill and dance around, throw your arms up and look kind of silly, right? You might be afraid of what other people are going to think about you, afraid of how you're going to look. But devotion with motion can be a wonderful time of you and God and praising Him, you know, and just being in fellowship, worshiping our God through our movements. So when devotion with motion comes after this, don't be afraid to look silly. Go out there and go all out and have a good time. And then the third thing, I think that we can be a little bit trapped or, you know, can we a little hesitant at Family Camp is Hour of Power. Hour of Power, for me, has been just the greatest time of deliverance at Family Camp, the greatest time of healing, when we can release what we've been learning, when we can be open with our fears, when we can be open with people who love us. But I think in going into these smaller groups, we kind of feel hesitant at first, right? Because we don't know who we know, and we don't know what they're going to think about us. But if I just challenge each and every one of you to break down those barriers that you might have, to fight past that fear of not taking action. Because it's easier to sit there and to listen what everybody else has to say and not have to open up, not have to share what you're going through or what you learned or what's been blessing you. So get out of that snare of fear. And be open with Hour of Power. And I think it can be a great week of deliverance there. Because the days go by quick, right? But if it takes you till Wednesday or Thursday to open up, you got maybe one or two good sessions left. But let's make it great from the beginning, from the start. And not be afraid here at camp. Now let's turn to Numbers chapter 13. So fear is a trap and it holds us back. But God is bigger than our fears. And when we put our trust in God, He'll keep us safe. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. My dad talked a little bit about the children of Israel leaving Egypt and how that was a focal point of their history. But after they left Egypt, Moses led the children of Israel into the wilderness to go into the Promised Land. And that's where we're going to pick up this record, is Moses with the children of Israel here in Numbers chapter 13. And God tells him to send some guys in and check out this promised land that God promised to give them. Here in Numbers chapter 13, we'll start in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. I give unto you. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. So God says, hey, pick out some guys, the leaders, send them in to the promised land and check out what they got. And Moses obeyed. And then skip down to verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. So this is what Moses says. Go check out these people that inhabit our promised land. Check them out. What do they got? Are they big? Are they little? Do they have walls? Are they strong? What's the deal? We need to spy them out. That's what God said to do. So they go. And then pick it up in verse 26. They went into the promised land, and then they came back. They came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, and said, we came unto the land where they sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be what?
Strong.
They be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities, they're what? They're walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Those dudes are crazy. They looked hella scary. And the children of Anak was there, and that's all bad. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and the mosquito bites at Camp Sierra. And by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb, my grandson's named after him. That's a good name. But my nephew, that's what I said. Caleb, he's a cute baby. There he is. Caleb, he stilled the people. Look what Caleb did. He said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb believed the promise of God. Caleb said, God is bigger than our enemies. God will give us this land that He had promised. God makes good on His word. Caleb believed it. Caleb was ready to go in and take this promised land that God had promised them. So Caleb did believe, but let's see what their reaction was in verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, who are crazy, come to the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. The children of Israel, they saw the giants. They saw the walls, they saw the Anaks, and they were afraid. They did not believe that what God had promised them, he would deliver. They didn't think that God was bigger than their enemies. And they were looking by their five senses. They were looking by what they could perceive in themselves. And you know what? If they went in there by themselves without God, without the promise of God to get that promised land, they would have got smashed. They would have got destroyed. But you know what God said to them? I will give you this land. I will deliver you from your enemies. And they made a choice. Their choice was not to believe God's word, not to believe what God had promised them, but to look at their five senses, look at their experiences, look at themselves, look at the stature of their enemies, and not believe God's word. And you know what? Besides Caleb and Joshua, none of that generation made it into the promised land. They did not believe that they could go in and take it, that God would make do on his promises, that God's word was bigger than their problems. And they let their fear dictate their life. They let their fear cause them to not take action, to not do what God had promised them that he would do. So you might ask yourself, well, okay, that's all good and well for the children of Israel, you know, 3,000 years ago or whatever. What about me here in family camp in 2014? How does that apply to me? Well, we don't have a promised land, a land where we're going to inhabit, a physical land. But our promised land in this day and time is a spiritual promised land. A spiritual land that's available to each and every one of us. And to see that, let's go to Romans chapter 8. We have a spiritual promised land available to us now. It's ours for the taking. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to what?
Fear.
To fear. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God has not given us this spirit of fear. You know, God does not send fear. Fear does not come from God. But what God did send us is the spirit of adoption. When we believe on Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we receive the new birth, this birth from above, and it's a birth by Holy Spirit. We receive God's spirit, and here it says that this spirit is a spirit of adoption. And you think of adoption, there's two ways to be placed into a family, right? You can be born into a family, or you can be adopted into a family. This word really means that we've been placed into God's family by birth of the Holy Spirit. So we have this spirit of adoption, this spirit of birth into God's family. And we are called God's sons and daughters. We have this Holy Spirit available to us, which we can walk by. And it's not a spirit of fear, but it's a spirit of power and love and a sound mind, as we'll see later. And with this spirit of adoption, we've been placed into God's family. And because of that, we are fully identified with Jesus Christ. We have a new way of living. We can walk by the Spirit. We can walk by faith, instead of walking by our five senses and what our five senses can tell us. You know, because if we go out into this world and we're by ourselves, just like the children of Israel, we're probably going to get smashed. You know, we might be able to do a few things on our own. You know, we might be good at a couple things on our own, but the world's going to beat us down. This world is an evil, hard place, and it has troubles. So when we walk by our five senses and what, you know, our senses can tell us, we're going to be full of fear. But when we walk with God, when we identify with God's Spirit, with God's Son, Jesus Christ, when we, you know, walk by the Spirit, when we walk in love, when we remember God's Word, then we can have deliverance of fear. Because we don't have the spirit of fear. We have the spirit of adoption. We have the spirit of power. We have the spirit of whole thoughts. And I know for me, for years and years, I just had fear in my heart. And I was pretty good at covering it up. You know, I could say all the right things. I could put on a show. I could stick to the script and cover up these fears that I walked with. But it really took learning who I am in Christ, learning about my identification with Christ and who I am and who God has made me to be, to get that real deliverance from my fears. When I stopped associating with myself and my strengths and my weaknesses and what I can do, then I started to change from the inside out. I started to put off my old man, put off who I used to be, those things I used to be afraid of, and I started believing what God said about me, that I'm more than a conqueror, that I do have the love of God born within me, that I have all spiritual blessings, that I am blessed with all spiritual blessings, that I can live a more than abundant life. When you start putting off this fear of I'm not good enough, I'm all by myself, my five senses are more sure than what God has promised me, and you put on the Spirit of God and start walking with God and His promises, you will have deliverance from fear in your life. And turn back to the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 1. I drove up with Sophie to camp, and we were talking about walking by the Spirit. And the Spirit, I believe, is something that each and every one of us already have. We already have it. And it's a choice that we make to put on this Spirit. And it says that when we start walking by the Spirit, that we get the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, temperance, meekness, all these wonderful things that we read about in Galatians, that we can have in our lives, this fruit of the Spirit, when we start walking by the Spirit. And we're back in Joshua chapter 1, and this is after Moses had died, as we'll see, and after that generation had died out, and Joshua leading the children of Israel into the promised land. We'll see if Joshua and them can get it right. We'll see if they're afraid or if they believe what God has promised them. Joshua chapter 1, it says in verse 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is what? Dead. Moses is dead. Now therefore, go over this Jordan, and all this people unto the land which I do give them, even the children of Israel." God gives them the land. They didn't go in and take it. God gave it to them. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river and the great Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going sun, down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee." I don't care if he's a giant. I don't care if he has walls. I don't care if he looks hella crazy and has these crazy weapons or he's whatever. "No man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor what? Forsake thee." What a promise God made to Joshua. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I mean, how was God with Moses? How did God work with Moses? I mean, the greatest deliverance is from Egypt, delivered him out, 10 plagues, parting of the Red Sea, gave him the law. That's how God was working with Moses, these wonderful things. And Joshua saw all this. He knew how God was working with Moses. He knew how Moses walked with power. And he's saying, great encouragement to Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you." Verse 6, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Be very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to it from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." God says, to Joshua, "Don't be afraid. Be of good courage. I am with you. I will fight your battles. Remember my word. Remember the word that I have given to you. Don't let this word leave your mouth. Always speak my word. Have my word on the tip of your tongue, ready to speak it. And meditate day and night." I was talking to my brother Joey about meditating on the word. And the word meditate in the Hebrew is actually from the same root word of when a cow chews up its food. And you might be like, "Well, that's weird. What the hell is that?" But when a cow chews up its food, if you ever see it, it gets like a big thing of grass, right? And it eats it, and it gets the nutrients, and then it spits it back up, and it eats it again. And it keeps gnawing on it, until it gets all the nutrients out of this ball of grass. And so meditate is similar to that, in the way that it's not just, you know, for 5 minutes on Sunday when I'm at fellowship, or it's not just when I'm at family camp, but we are constantly throughout our day regurgitating and retaking in God's word. We're chewing on it, we're feeding on it, we spit it back out, we put it right back in, and we're feeding on it throughout the day. That's meditating in God's word. We don't want God's word to just be in the morning when I wake up, or maybe right before I go to bed I'm going to remember a verse. But no, throughout the day, look to God's word, and if you have a fear arise, remember a promise of God that can apply to you, that you are more than a conqueror, that God has delivered you from the powers of darkness, that God is with you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Meditate on God's word day and night. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. Isn't that similar to what God told Isaiah in Isaiah 41? Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid to walk on my word, because I am with you. I am your God. I'm bigger than your problems. I'm bigger than your fears. Go to Joshua chapter 10. And we'll pick up this record of Joshua going in to the promised land. Joshua chapter 10, in verse 22 we'll start. Then said Joshua, "Open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave." So we're not going to take the time to read this whole record, but just this verse says that there's five kings, and these kings are in a cave. So, all right, so you're getting a little mental image here. We got a cave, you know, like potholes with the cave, I don't know. And there's five kings, and they're in this cave. And Joshua says, "Open the mouth of the cave and bring out these five kings." And they did so, and brought forth these five kings unto him out of the cave: the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, "Come near, put your foot upon the necks of these kings." And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. Starting to get a little mental image of what's going on here. We got these five kings. Joshua brings them out of the cave, puts them on the ground, tells his captains, "Put your foot on their necks." Now, I've never really had like somebody standing on my neck with their foot, I don't think. Maybe my brother when I was little or something. Like that Chinese torture, you remember that? That was worse. But we got these kings, and they got foots on their necks. And that's a pretty dominated position, right? If someone's got a foot on your neck, you're pretty screwed. There's not much you can do. You're conquered. You're done. And Joshua, you know, we got these kings with these foots on their necks. Joshua says to the children of Israel, "Fear not, nor be what? Dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight." Back in chapter 1, God said to Joshua, "Fear not, be not dismayed, be of good courage. I will fight your battles for you. I'm bigger than your problems." You know what? Joshua got it. Joshua did not look at his five senses. He trusted in the promises of God. And Joshua got it to the point where he was able to tell the children of Israel, "Hey, don't be afraid. God is with us. God is bigger than our enemies, and God is bigger than our problems." And fear for us, you know, we might not face kings, but fear for us is an enemy. Fear is something that holds us back from believing God's promises, for receiving from God through His Word. And whether it's doubt, you know, I think we would all agree that God's Word is true, but there, you know, based on our experiences or maybe what our five senses push at us, we might think, oh, well, God's Word won't really work for me. You know, God's Word, you know, works for some people, but for me, I just can't do it. And you know what that is? That's fear. That's fear of receiving from God. God says that we have been delivered from fear. God says, fear not, trust in me. Fear brings a trap and it holds you back. But when you trust in God, He'll keep you safe. Verse 25 again, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterward, Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. So we might not face five kings, right, in our life. I highly doubt that. But we do face challenges. We do face enemies, and we do face fear. What king do you have in your life that you need to put your foot on? That you need to say, God is bigger than you. God will deliver me from you. Things like fear, things like anxiety, things on being self-conscious. All these things hold us back from the more than abundant life that God has promised us. And all of these things, God is bigger than. We can put our foot on the necks of these kings in our lives. Turn to Psalm 139 now. Before we get into the Old Testament and close up, I want to look at Psalm 139. And we're going to look at a prayer here. This is a prayer to God. And I first heard this at a Virginia camp a couple years ago, and it really resonated in my life, and I really believe that it helped me get deliverance in my life. And I pray that it can have the same effect for each and every one of you this week at family camp as we look into where we want to see God work, where we want to get deliverance from fear. Psalm 139, it says in verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let's read that one more time. "Search me, O God, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This is a prayer that each and every one of us can make this week. God, search my heart and know me. Show me what's holding me back from this more than abundant life. Show me what's holding me back from receiving from you, from delivering my fears, delivering my problems, and lead me to the way everlasting. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. First, second, third Peter, 1 John, towards the end of your Bibles. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, "There is no fear in what? Love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." You know, fear has torment. Fear has torment in your life. Fear can hurt you. Fear can hold you back. Fear can keep you from this more than abundant life and living by the Spirit that God has made available to us. But it says here that perfect love casts out fear. Love beats fear. Love casts out fear. Love and fear can't coexist. You can either have fear or you can have love. Love gets rid of fear. And I think that's why family camp can be such a wonderful time of deliverance, such a wonderful time to be honest with yourself and to look inside of you and have God search your heart, have God search your lives and show you what's going on. Because we get away from the world, right? You know, we come up here on higher ground, as we sang the first night, and we get away from our worldly influences. And this world just pushes fear down our throats, right? I mean, you look at the news, it wants you to be afraid of this. Read the newspaper, afraid of that. You know, and these fiery darts are thrown at us. You know, the God of this world is trying to mess with us. It's trying to F with us. And so that's thrown at us constantly. But if we, you know, in family camp, we sort of get away from that, I pray. And that's one of the reasons, like, I don't even keep my cell phone with me. It's like, you know, I don't even need that. That's just, what is that even going to do for me? Do I really need to talk to anybody? I don't think so. But we get away from the world. We get away from this fear that's being pushed at us. And we get surrounded by love. We get surrounded by, you know, believers who walk in love, who just love you just because you're alive, just because you're breathing. You know, that our brothers and sisters in Christ, it's like a big family reunion, it feels like, when we get up here. You know, we're back with people who love us just because we're breathing. We get away from the fear, we get up into loving environment, and we get to hear God's word taught with love. Because God's word is what can really deliver us. God's word is how we learn about love, how we learn, and what we all have in common here, right? This common faith that each and every one of us have. So perfect love, this agape love, walking by the spirit of love, it casts out fear. And so I think that's one of the reasons why family camp is so great, because we get so much of the word and we get so much less fear on a daily basis and so much more love. So I encourage each and every one of you to love big this week and fear less. And to close, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of what?"
Fear.
God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power and love and a sound mind. God has not given us fear. Fear does not come from God. God doesn't want us to be afraid. God wants us to put our foot on the neck of fear. God wants us to believe his promises more than what our five senses can tell us. He wants his word to be the standard for our perception, right? And all it takes at times can be a shift in perspective. Am I going to look at my five senses and what my experiences have told me, or am I going to change my thoughts? Am I going to put those thoughts off and look at what God has told me, that I am blessed, that I am more than a conqueror, that he does work in me, that I can do it. I'm not some piece of crap defined by my past or my sins, but I'm identified with Jesus Christ. That's how God looks at us, and that's how we should look at ourselves. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. This power that we have is through the Holy Spirit. Our Holy Spirit has power. It has power in the nine manifestations. It has the power to save us from death, eternal life, as we'll look at later. It has the power to give us access to God, to walk by the Spirit, all these wonderful things that the Spirit has given us. It gives us a sound mind. That sound mind means whole thoughts. You know, we don't have to have this constant thing of, oh, what if this happens, or I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that, because those aren't whole thoughts. Those keep us back from believing God's word. But God has given us whole thoughts to believe, and those whole thoughts come from God's word. And he has given us the spirit of love. That we can love each other. That we can go up to each other and not be afraid to say, hey, hi, I'm Sam, I'm John, whatever. And give them a hug and love them up. You know, who cares? You might look a little silly to them, but who cares? What does God think? God thinks you're walking in love. And, you know, our work is not in vain. We can work for God. We can love with God's Spirit. And then in verse 8, "Be thou not therefore, because of this Spirit that we have, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, and be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." It says here, don't be afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the good news that we have this spirit of power, and of love and of sound mind, that we have been born again, that we can speak in tongues and operate these manifestations. You know, these are things that God wants us to share. And I know for me, in my life, speaking God's word, sharing what I have learned to people, what God has been blessing me with, is one of the biggest fears that I've ever faced. I don't know what it is, but for me to go out and talk to a complete stranger and be like, hey, you know what? God's been totally blessing me. That is just really tough for me. And I think a lot of us share that. You know, we get so blessed from God. We learn so much of God's word, yet we are hesitant. We are trapped. We are hesitant to take action to speak to someone about God's word, to speak about what we know and what we've proved to be true in our lives. But the more that God's word becomes a part of your heart, the more you identify with Jesus Christ and who you are, and the less you start caring about your five senses and what other people are going to think about you, and this fear of believing what they think about you, the easier it will be to speak God's word. You know, it doesn't have to. I used to think it was this big ordeal, and I have to know this, this, and this, and I got to study, and I just don't know enough to speak God's word. And that's a lie, because each and every one of us have the Spirit of God, and God works in us. You know, you don't yet have to have the whole church epistles memorized to go out and share love with someone. You know, you don't have to know the complete record of the children of Israel and all the prophets to go out and give someone a hug and say, holy crap, I am so blessed. I just got back from family camp and it was awesome. So I encourage you this week to walk in love, to have that love cast out the fear that you may have that's holding you back from doing what you really want to do, and that we can walk in love, that we can walk in the Spirit and fully identify with Jesus Christ and who He's made us to be in the new birth. And we can put our foot on our fears. We can stomp that shit out and just not be afraid anymore. And so that's what I encourage each and every one of you, to not be afraid and to walk in love this week. So I'll close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, for your love, and your grace and your goodness and mercy in our lives. How you are such a sweet father to us. How you are our daddy, and you watch over us and you care about the most minute details of our lives. Thank you for bringing each and every one of us here to camp this week. I pray that you would search our hearts, God, that you would know us and know our hearts and show us where we've been lacking in our believing, what's been holding us back, what fears that we can conquer with your help, God. Thank you for being bigger than our problems. Thank you for encouraging us and giving us the strength that we need to face this world and to live for you. And I pray for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.